I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Eladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas were revealed to me the day he came to my house and said,
I want to make a podcast!
Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Today on the show, Eric, Joe, and I talk about games and TV shows that we really geek out about and love, and Eric brings up the Coral Castle. We talk a little bit about that, which is pretty cool. I don't know if you've ever been. Homestead, Florida. It's really, really cool. And later on in the show, we're going to go to Emerald City Comic Con, like we usually do, and geek out with Jay Farber, Mike S. Miller, and Shannon Wheeler. So you can look forward to that at the end of the episode here. But first, let me introduce you to Stephen Poon of Out Nerd Me and Claire Cassidy from Geek Star Costuming. Take a listen to this little segment here with these two. Pretty cool stuff they got going on there. So I'm here at Seattle Retro Gaming Expo with...
Stephen Poon.
And Steve, why don't you tell us all a little bit about what you do here? This is some really good art. I like it a lot.
So I'm just a fellow small artist, and what I do is, like, I'm a big nerd, you know. I watch all kinds of TV shows like Supernatural, Game of Thrones, or Doctor Who, and I really enjoy, you know, like, my favorite lines, like their quotes. Like let's say, like, the Doctor, you know, one of his famous lines is, like, Allons-y, or the other Doctor was Geronimo. So I would take his favorite quotes and then do a silhouette of the character and put all of his favorite quotes into the silhouette. So that's what I do.
Yeah, it's a really cool design. I like how you incorporate the words and not just put them on there. You have it all artistically designed and in a neat way that outlines the ship or the, like you said, a silhouette of the person's head and things like that. And it's very, very, very cool.
Yeah, my most popular one right now is my Game of Thrones, which is like all over the internet. And I have like Daenerys, I have Tyrion, I have the Hound, I have Hordor that everyone loves. And for the Hordor poster, it's just all Hordor.
Yeah.
And everyone loves that one, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great character. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you can check out all my stuff on my website, which is outnerdme.com. And I do make these into t-shirts. So I will be starting a Kickstarter soon, probably in a few months, so I can make all of these in the t-shirts, all my posters, which I have like around 50 different like movie and TV series, like old ones, like Princess Bride, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and all the newer stuff as well.
And when you start the Kickstarter, there'll definitely be a link on your website, right?
Yes, which is outnerdme.com, and be sure to like me on Facebook, because like I do a lot of giveaways. I ask fans on what posters I should make next, and I also ask fans, you know, what their favorite line is, so they can feel like it's a community. So when they be like, oh, this new poster, I contributed by saying my favorite quote and he picked it, you know, and I can show my friends, you know, this cool work that he made.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to get the people who are the fans of your artwork involved. It's really cool when you do things
like
that.
People love community stuff, and the nerd community is totally like my community.
Yeah.
And what is something that you really geek out about? What's something that you really love?
Right now, it's pretty much Game of Thrones, period. Like when the seasons were playing, like every Sunday, I have friends come over. We also go to Burger King before and get all their Burger King crowns and then get some kind of drumstick from, like, I don't know, like Fred Meyers or something. And we all sit on the couch and just like eat our big ass chicken thighs with our crowns as we're watching each episode.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. It was very nice meeting you.
Cool. Thank you, everyone.
And you know, Steven was really nice when I met him. He gave us a number of his posters. We have three of them in stock. And we're going to do a little contest to give these things away. So keep checking Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. And we'll be putting up some Twitter contests on how to win some of Stephen Poon's posters. So I'm here at Odd Mall with...
Claire Cassidy.
And Claire, tell us a little bit about this cool jewelry that you make.
So I don't make just jewelry, but my jewelry right now is probably one of my best sellers. I've started designing and laser cutting a bunch of nerd emblems because I really like big, blingy, girly, geeky stuff. And I can't find it really very often, so I started making it. But the other half of what I do is more one-of-a-kind, unique stuff that I only sell in person. So my jewelry is good because you can find it online these days, but the rest of my stuff you only get at cons. That's nice.
Cool. And where can they find some of this stuff online?
My shop, you can find www.geekstarcostuming.com, and that links you straight to my shop.
And is this something that you really geek out about?
Oh, I'm a reader. I think like a lot of nerds, I read too much as a child and it turned my brain and I got too much imagination and now I have to use it or go insane. And I still read way too much.
Cool. And lastly, we're going to talk to Rob Stewart, part of the executive team over there at NorwestCon. So I'm here at Crypticon 2014 with
Rob Stewart.
And Rob, what are you working on?
I'm working on NorwestCon 38, first week of April 2015.
And what do you geek out about?
I geek out about books, the written word. Next year we have George R.R. Martin.
Cool. Well, I'll have to go check out that show.
You should. Everyone should. It's going to be fun.
I'm sure it will be. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Now let's get into talking with Eric and Joe, and we'll just get to geeking out.
Well, I'm John. I'm here with Joe and Eric. Say hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
Hi, everybody.
Cool. So, do either of you have anything you'd like to talk about today?
Well, let's see. Not really. What kind of geeky stuff are you guys into? I mean, what's the last thing that you, the newest thing that you're kind of into right now? I haven't talked to you in a while, Eric. I'm kind of interested.
I'm not sure if I can lead this charge as far as talking about geeky stuff.
Well, just stuff that, like, it's just pushing your cool button. How about putting it that way right now?
Right. Well, I did do a little bit watching of something called Coral Castle, so that was kind of cool and sort of nerdy, and that has to do with technology. And if you guys haven't heard of Coral Castle, then it might be a bit out there to talk about.
I haven't heard of it. I'm looking it up right now.
So what it is this gentleman, I would have to look up his name, he would move around these blocks, I believe, of coral.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The one Homestead, Florida.
Florida.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. I went there.
Did you?
Yes, I have photos and like brochures, and I think I even got a t-shirt.
Wow, you're my hero. That is awesome. Oh, what did you think about it?
It was fantastic. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
So tell me, I'm not really that familiar with it. What is it exactly?
Go ahead, John.
You want me to tell the story? Okay.
Please, yes.
All right. So there was a guy, I believe his name was Ed, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And he's Polish, right?
It says Latvian.
Was it Latvian? Okay.
Yeah.
And he came over here to the States, and he was, I guess, in love with someone who did not return his love or affections or whatever you would say. And he decided to build this castle for her out of the coral that was nearby his property. And apparently it wasn't really originating in Homestead. I guess he moved it there after a little while, but it was down the road or something originally. But anyways, he supposedly built this thing using the techniques of the ancient Egyptians and Mayans and all the ancient builders of the time. He claimed that he figured out the secret of all the ancient builders. And at night, when no one was watching, he would erect these things. And some of the stones that he moved I don't know, like 10 tons or whatever, and they can't figure out how he moved them around, how he sculpted them and moved them around. And then after he built the whole thing in one spot, he moved it, I guess, right next to where he quarried the stone later in life. So not only did he build it once, but apparently he had moved the whole thing and built it again. And he's got like a pivoting door that was balanced so perfectly. It's like 5 tons of stone or something. But you supposedly can move it with just a finger. But
really
over time, it got... When I was there, it was kind of stuck. It got, you know, locked in over time, I guess, because of the weight.
So that's too bad.
Maybe he wasn't perfect. But, you know, it was still incredibly impressive. It's amazing to see. I should scan in some of the photos I took when I visited with my father
cool. And
make a little post since we're talking about it. That's cool.
So, you guys want a little trivia about this spot.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It says here that Billy Idol wrote and recorded the song Sweet 16 and filmed the video in the Coral Castle.
Really?
Interesting. Nice. That's an interesting
I'm going to have to look up that video. Billy Idol?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Billy Idol, Sweet 16.
I'm going to have to look it up. I'm familiar with the song, but I don't remember that video.
It's one of several vaguely pedophilic-sounding Billy Idol songs.
One of, yeah.
It's got a, few where you listen to it and you're a little uncomfortable.
That's hilarious. I was going to say I was watching something on it, and they showed a contraption that he used, which apparently was three telephone poles. And if you would put them together in, I'm going to say pyramid for lack of knowing.
TP fashion.
TP fashion. There's a box on top.
The black box,
They're not sure what's going on in the box, but there's also a...
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the... There's like a block and tackle, some such, or what would you call it? The pulley system with chain. Mm-hmm. And there's also, I guess, a cable coming from up there. And I heard one guy theorizing on what he thought was going on. And apparently he thinks that there was a flywheel, that there was also a cable coming out from a shed where the stationary flywheel was, if I have it correctly. And the flywheel would be turning. It would send stuff out to the TP contraption and up to the box. And the box maybe was like a converter or some such and send stuff down to a cable. And so he theorizes what happens is that he would pick up one corner of the block. He would put the cable down around the block and that the block would levitate because it would somehow, like polarity, it would reverse it in such a way where in relation to the Earth, it's like putting two of the same sides of a magnet together, right?
Saying he used some kind of electromagnetics? You're not saying it was just pulleys?
Right. That's what this guy was theorizing, because he also had radio tuners or some such. And this might be a total tinfoil hatter. I don't know.
You have to, because there are limits to how much you can lift even with a pulley system, and if he's lifting stuff that's in excess of that, you'd have to come up with some way for it to still work, right?
Yeah. So two of the stories that sort of lend to this, there's one story that kids were watching him and they were talking about floating blocks.
Yeah, I heard that story too, how they were leaning over the walls. They'd climb up the walls and they were leaning over the top and watching him, because he first erected these huge walls all the way around it that are, I mean, they were taller than me, and I'm 6'1"-ish, you know, so it was like the kids were just above the wall. I guess they climbed up there somehow, and they were just looking over the walls, the story goes, and they saw him levitating these blocks in the interior as he was building the interior parts, you know?
Wow. John, did you hear the story about the guy with the flatbed truck when Ed was going to move the castle? And the guy pulls up in a flatbed truck, and he leaves, and he comes back like in a half an hour. And he said there was multiple blocks already on the back of the flatbed.
Yeah, I had heard that story before. Yeah,
which is just crazy. And the guy's like, there's no way that could even be done with a...
Yeah, did we mention that Ed was 97 pounds or something? Like 5 foot tall?
Yeah, he wasn't just some big dumb
Clearly, he's a hobbit, and Gandalf is doing all this.
That could be
mystery solved.
Merlin. It's always Merlin, right?
I thought it was fascinating. I thought that was a fascinating.
It does look cool. It does look really cool.
Yeah, we'll throw up some links to that stuff, and I'll get my pictures out, scan some in, and try to give you guys a firsthand account. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, neat. So what stuck in your mind when you went to visit? I saw a table shaped like Florida, apparently. A coral table?
Yeah, there is one there. I wasn't that impressed with the furniture kind of stuff that he had around. I was pretty impressed with the blocks that he made for the walls, and then the pivoting door that was like 5 tons. You know, and I guess I get more entranced by the ones that are extremely heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. Could have put a rectangle. I guess this is the cool thing, you know. Most megalithic structures are just sort of rectangles or blocks, you know. And a lot of his work, he carved into stars and moon shapes and, you know, so I guess that was, you know, he took it one step further, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was impressive. You know, it was neat that he put an artistic touch on a megalithic structure, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you see, wasn't there a coral rocking chair?
Yes, there is. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of those curved video game chairs that they sell now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're just one big curve, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of, if it's the one that I remember seeing just looked like that, kind of.
Were you able to imagine curling up with a good book on it and Doing some reading?
No, I think it had just rained in the morning, and the sun had just come out, so it was kind of like a lot of the areas looked like I didn't want to sit on them because the rain was sort of puddling up a little bit, and, you know.
Well, I can appreciate
for sunbathing.
I can appreciate why you'd say, you know, the furniture wasn't the most impressive thing, because really you don't think of coral as good lawn furniture or anything like that.
Yeah. But they had the pulley system on file, or I mean, there on display. Sorry, not on file, but on display. They had a bunch of the photographs, you know, that were supposedly taken while he was working and things, you know. Newspaper articles on it, you know, the whole story about the girl he loved. She apparently never came to even see it, as far as they know.
Oh.
You know.
All that work.
Yeah.
Man.
Did they say what was inside the box at the top of the...
No, they only pointed it out in like one or two photographs, and that's all they really talked about, was just that pointing it out. They didn't really go into the mythology behind the box, and I think they want to leave it up to you to go discover that outside. You know, they're just giving you the absolute facts, and these are the photos when you go into their little museum. Yeah. I don't think they're putting any speculation into that museum. You know, it's all just, these are the facts, this is what he did, this is who the man was, these are the photos and the newspaper articles, and then you take it from there, you know. They mention it, like saying, this is the black box that everyone talks about, you know, and then you go, what do you mean everyone's talking about it? So you go look it up when you go get home, you know?
Yeah, you go talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, you end up talking about it, that more people want to go visit Homestead, Florida.
Right, yeah.
They should totally give you some free t-shirts or something for this podcast.
They should.
Been quite a plug.
All three of us get some.
Yeah, I want some swag
yes.
This place.
Maybe, we get coral hats.
Maybe we'll get some orange juice or something. You know? There's orange juice down there.
I'll take one of those coral recliners, whatever they got.
Coral recliner. Does it have a cup holder?
Yeah.
Like, well, some of them have speakers in the headsets, you know? You can play your head back and this little headrest thing, and they have little speakers in them, and they got cup holders, and, you know? Yeah. So I got, does anybody else have anything? I got one, if you don't.
Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, so when I was out wandering around this morning, I came across a King Kong board game from Ideal and found it at Value Village. It was fantastic. I love Value Villages. They're great. There's another plug. Free Value Village shirts, right? But anyways, it's one where it's from the 70s there, and King Kong is climbing. You got to set this skyscraper up. Actually, it's the Twin Towers, which was pretty interesting. So maybe it's like the 80s, right? When were the Twin Towers built? We should all know that, like, right?
feels like late 70s, but I don't know.
I can tell you when they were demoed.
Doesn't that feel like something we should know? Like now? Anyway, so...
We kind of just went right over that joke, Eric, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's probably...
I don't know if we want to acknowledge it yet. Whatever.
Oh, they opened in 1973.
Oh, when I was born. Wow.
Yeah, same year.
Wow, 73, wow. Okay.
Joe, you were 73 also?
Yeah.
All right, look at that.
Congrats, young guy.
I'm a January guy. What were you?
September.
Oh, opposite ends, huh? So, yeah, so I found King this Kong board game. Game, and you can set it up so King Kong climbs up the side of the board game all the way to the top of the towers, and he'll stand on the building, of course. So this is probably the 80s, because that was probably that movie that they, when they redid it, right? Or was that late 70s, wasn't it? Whatever.
What's it called again?
King Kong. The board game.
It's just called King Kong the board game?
Yeah, from Ideal. Okay. And you get, like, these little blue characters inside, and you gotta, like, you get, like, five chances to hit King Kong, knock him off the building or whatever, and save the day, save New York, you know? But I was like, it got me thinking, you know, I found this, and then, before that, I had found an E.T., the extraterrestrial board game from, you know, 1984 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, like, if you guys could choose, like, you know, I'm sure we're not going to know which games were made and which weren't, because honestly, these kind of surprised me when I saw them, but then sort of make sense if you think about it, you know? They were very popular movies, so of course there's going to be merchandise and board games and things. So I was thinking, of any movie franchise or television franchise, or I guess any franchise, anything out there, what kind of board game would you like to see, you know? And if you don't really have one, what is your favorite board game that you enjoy playing right now, you know, or of all time, like when you were a kid or whatever, you know?
I got five words for you. Three's Company, the board game.
Really?
Three's Company. Nice.
Yeah, that's fine.
What would you do?
How do they have Happy Days? They've got Happy Days as a board game.
I'm sure there is a Happy Days board game, yeah. There probably is a Three's Company board game, but what would you do in your Three's Company board game, Joe?
What?
Oh, would you just go around the neighborhood knocking on doors?
Well, no. First of all, you need two girls and one guy. Those are only configuration of players that you can have.
Okay.
So if you've got more people than that or less people than that, you're screwed. You can't play the game. That's the first rule. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Maybe I'll design my own Three's Company board game.
Do you have a second guy who acts as Mr. Roper who just kind of like jumps in to ruin the day or whatever?
Or Mr. Furley. There's an option there.
Okay. Was it Roper in there? Was there a Mr. Roper?
Yeah, Mr. Roper.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The Ropers.
Yep. They were the landlords, right?
They were the landlords.
Okay.
And then Mr. Furley takes over as landlord halfway through the series.
Okay.
And that's Don Knotts, right?
Don Knotts. The great Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Don Knotts was Furley?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Norman Fell was Mr. Roper. I'm a wellspring of Three's Company knowledge, by the way. If you ever...
Do you watch it on Hulu?
Yeah, I do. No, we've actually got a timer set on the DVR. It automatically records it anytime it shows anywhere. So we've got like 25 episodes on the
DVR.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sick. I need help. What about you, Eric?
You know, I'm trying to think of a board game, and honestly, nothing's coming to mind. I wish I had more imagination at this point. I'm going to have to think on it a little bit.
Yeah, you know what would be, let's see, let's think of some good movie franchises that would be good. Do you think there's an Alien board game? You probably know that, John.
Oh, man, I haven't seen one, but that would be a really good one. I bet there is. I'm sure there is, but I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, there actually is one made by, I don't know who it's made by, by Leading Eagle Games.
Leading Eagle?
Oh, wait, that's a Flash game, never mind. Anyway.
I bet there's got to be like a Parker Brothers way back in the day. Or
yeah. What about you, John? What's one you wish was out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of one that's not already out there that I would like to see.
I got it.
Oh.
I got mine.
Go ahead, Eric. I'll keep thinking as you...
Okay. The board game I'd like to see is Billy Jack, the board game.
Billy Jack.
I'm going to take my left foot.
And it's coming right out of the era when board games were huge.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh. Okay.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah?
You know, the head guy for Billy Jack, I wish I could remember his
name. Ideal would have to make that, wouldn't they?
he probably wouldn't do it just because he was so mission-minded or some such. They built... For the last Billy Jack movie, I think it's Billy Jack Goes to Washington, believe it or not, they built a replica of the, I want to say, some area where all the congressmen meet, I believe. They built some sort of replica, and other guys were saying, hey, can we use your replica? We'll pay you for it. And he's like, no way, this is for this movie. He was too idealistic. And
yeah,
so
Tom
he
went, Laughlin, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Laughlin, yes. Yes, he passed away, I think, last year. Either this year or last year.
Really?
Yep. Let me look it up. Oh, yeah. He was great. Tom Laughlin. Yeah, passed away December 12th last year, guys.
Yeah.
2013.
Moment of silence.
Yeah.
Moment of silence for Billy Jack. Thank you.
Now do a reverse spinning back kick for Billy Jack.
Yeah, right. Can you do that? Yeah.
There's going to be noise involved.
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Did you clear the room?
I may be out for the rest of the podcast if I try that.
You know what I would like to see? I'd like to see, I'm sure they're out there. I'd have to like dig around and find them. But I want like the old G.I. Joe from the 80s, like a board game.
Oh, you know, that would
like
be
something
cool.
Where they had like, maybe they had like a Snake Mountain thing set up or something. I don't, wasn't it, didn't Cobra have a snake base or whatever?
There are several G.I. Joe board games. I'm just looking.
Because what I like is, like, a lot of these board games I'm finding have elaborate setups. They have, like, cardboard pieces that interlock and form a building, or they, you know, and they have sliders on it, you know. And, like, E.T. has this ship that's formed, and this Hulk one where the Hulk's arm spins around and he becomes the Hulk. I just got a Donkey Kong board game from the 80s, but you actually set it up just like Donkey Kong, and there's a plastic Donkey Kong ape that you put on the top, and barrels roll through his body and then come out his hand and roll down the board, and you got to actually move your plastic Marios up the thing. So, I mean, it almost simulates the video game exactly. I was like, wow, this is, like, cool with all this setup, you know? So I could just imagine if they had, like, something with a Cobra base and you had to storm it with your Joes or whatever, that the base would be really cool. It's an elaborate thing that you'd set up or whatever, you know?
That's a good one. Good one.
I found that they had made a Land of the Lost board game.
Oh, wow. I remember Land of the Lost.
Just recently or, like, made it back then?
It looks like an old one. I'm seeing images for it at Board Game Geek. Land of the Lost game. But I put Land of the Lost board game in.
What were they? They were not the Skeksis. What were they called? The lizard people. What were they called?
Sleestaks.
Yeah, Sleestaks. Didn't they make that?
Oh, yeah, Land of the Lost board game.
Noise? Yeah.
They must have had braces. You couldn't see their teeth, but they must have had braces.
They weren't evil. They were just awkward.
Yeah, they were. They didn't know how to talk to people.
The popular Sleestaks have just been making fun of them, so they're sad.
Yeah, those are the ones that you always saw in the dark behind the curtains there and stuff that were behind in the cave somewhere, always shouting out.
I think the first one was either produced or directed by Chekhov of the Land of Lost.
The first episode?
Walter Koenig? You mean Walter Koenig?
Maybe so. I have to look it up. I'm just kicking it out there.
Huh. I know. I mean, I have the DVDs. I haven't looked at them in a long time.
Though. Speaking of really old shows, like from the 70s and 80s, John, did you ever watch that time travel series called Voyagers?
Oh, it sounds vaguely familiar.
It had the little kid who travels with the time traveler, has that watch that gets broke, so they never know where they're traveling through time, and they end up meeting the most famous historical person from that era somehow.
It sounds vaguely familiar. Why? Is it on somewhere? Can I watch it again?
They just got it on Amazon, their Prime thing, and I remember it from when I was a kid, really liking it. I'm trying to get Tara to watch it with me, but we haven't been able to watch it yet.
I'll have to check
it out. It's got that kid from the Ronnie James Dio Last in Line video.
Really?
Yeah, with the dark, curly hair.
Right.
I forget what his name is. So.
You know, he used to teach guitar lessons, Dio, for reals.
Really?
Yeah. Well, when I was a little kid growing up, yeah.
You'd be outside waiting to be called in. Come on in. Let's find your rainbow.
Oh, so this kid in Voyagers, I don't know how to say his name, looks like Mino Pelucci.
I'll take it.
His half-sister is Soleil Moonfry, who was Punky Brewster.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been in on everything in the 70s.
When you said the name, I was kind of, what? But then I thought, well, even if you throw Punky Brewster out there without context, you'd be like, what? So speaking of television shows, here's one. If you could tell the networks about one franchise that should be a television show, what would that be?
Oh, a franchise from, okay. Mm.
We're talking about from the past?
Anytime. I mean, anything. Anything that you think should be a television, like, you're like, that was an awesome movie, those are awesome books, those are awesome comics, those are awesome whatever's, you know, I think this is, I would love to know about this musician or whatever, you know, anything. What could turn into a television series that you think would work or that you would watch?
Oh.
Do you guys remember me talking to you about that one science fiction TV one where that family is going through these colonies?
Going through these colonies?
Colonies.
I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look for it. It's a science fiction. And
was it Earth 2?
I think I remember talking to you about it, John, and I wish I could come up with the name.
Was it Earth 2? Was it Space 1999?
It's not a popular name. I think it was one season. It could totally win today. I'll go looking for it. Carry on, as you were.
Was it, let me think, they had those pilots and some of them were grown in a test tube?
Nope. This was a family that they were being chased by this guy trying to keep order. And they were going through, they would go from town to town, and they were looking for a way to get back home, and they weren't sure how to do it. And so, for example, they went to one town where they go inside the grocery store, and everything has generic labels on it. There's one macaroni, there's one this, there's one that. And it was a very plain town, and then the kids decide, I think they play the Beatles. They play some Beatles song, and parents are upset, there's family members upset that they're playing this rock and roll, and it's sort of disturbing the, you know, the ethos of the community. And that's one experience that they have while being chased by this fella. I'll go looking for it.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. What era? Is
80s. All 80s.
80s. Okay. Huh.
Do you have one, Joe? Well, maybe he'll look that up and we'll come to us.
I'll look for it.
There are several shows, older shows, that I think deserve like a remake now, a modern remake. One of my personal favorites, I doubt either of you have ever heard of it, is this show from the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, I think. It was called Herman's Head.
Hmm. No.
Anything?
I mean, something sounds vaguely familiar about it, but it could just be that I'm remembering that Herman's comic strip, or I don't know, just...
It was this show about this guy played by, I think, William Ragsdale was his name. And it's this guy, I forget what he does. He works in publishing. He has a job in an office, whatever. It's kind of this normal sitcom. What's interesting and what was new about it when it came out was his inner thoughts would be portrayed by four individual characters who essentially live inside his head. So whenever he's experiencing things out in the world, they will cut to inside his head, and these figments in his head, each one sort of represents a different side of him.
Yeah.
So one's the animal, and it's like the slob, the guy who just wants to eat and drink and party, and one's the intellect, and one's the guilt, and one's the, I forget what the fourth one is, but yeah, he's going about his day, and they keep cutting back inside his head where the characters in there talk about what's going on and argue with each other and battle for control to decide who's going to win and lead him to make a certain decision. And I've always wanted that show to be remade because I think you could really do some fun stuff with it today.
Yeah, that sounds funny. I'll have to look that up. I wonder if there's...
It was one of the first original series on Fox, like back when Fox actually became a network. It was one of their first independent kind of productions that they... Huh. Put out there.
Did Fox have Max Headroom? That was them too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty early on.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one that could come back, I think.
That would be cool.
I mean, you could modernize it a little bit and have it come back, you know.
Yeah, it actually, it's almost, given the kind of media culture we have now, the 24-hour media culture, Max Headroom's kind of, if you go back and watch those old ones, it's a little on the nose.
A little prophetic, right?
Yeah. So you could bring it back.
I think The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, that would be a cool one to do. Especially since superheroes have become so big, kind of they're on TV now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the superheroes suddenly are on top of the world. Could have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Did you guys see the episode where they try to hand off the suit to a female?
I don't remember that.
It's on YouTube.
Was that a movie one, though? That was probably like a movie one or a two-parter, right?
Maybe.
Man, we've had the series in a number of times at work. I think I've borrowed it a couple times, but it's been a while since I've watched that even.
I got it on Netflix a lot when it first showed up on Netflix, and I got through maybe three of them. I'm like, nostalgia's done. This sucks. It's not that great.
That's kind of how I was with the Hulk TV show. I got I think I may have lasted through the first season, and then when I got into the second, I was like, this is so repetitive. It's like, does anything else happen? And then I skipped to the movies that they had with, like, Thor, and there was a movie with Daredevil. Yeah. Those are okay. You know, whatever.
Hey, you know, I'm really looking forward to Netflix's independent series that they're going to do.
Oh, Daredevil, and don't they have two of them planned? Like, there's a Daredevil series, and then there's also
Daredevil, there's going to be Luke Cage. Iron Fist, and then the other one was Jessica Drew, I think.
Daredevil, you're talking about Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll have Ben Affleck, sure.
Hey, you know who just got cast as the villain in that? It's Kingpin.
Who?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of inspired.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, he's quirky. He could be weird. We'll see how that goes.
You know, we should also talk a little bit about the new casting news on the Superman versus Batman movie, because some stuff happened there.
What was that? Go ahead.
They cast Aquaman.
Aquaman? Holy cow!
And you're never going to believe who they cast for this role.
The Rock.
He has played in the movies Conan and on Game of Thrones Khal Drogo. Jason Momoa.
Oh, yes. Momoa. Huh.
Yeah, got cast as Aquaman. So that's
interesting
cool.
That, you know, what, didn't The Rock play Conan in one of the things, or wanted to? Maybe he just wanted to, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he actually did, right?
In Conan, I could be wrong. He would have made an okay one, I guess.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, yeah. So you got the name of that show there, Eric?
I do. You can find it on YouTube. The name of the show was Otherworld.
Other world.
Yes. Other world. So give that a whirl tonight. The first, you know, episode one, season one. I think there's only one season, but.
Okay.
Other world.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, I found it there.
There's no Wikipedia page for it. Is there an IMDb page?
I put up a link to the video on the Skype, you know, where we can comment.
Okay, cool. Well, here's the IMDb. It's got a 7.4 on IMDb, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
That does sound pretty good.
I'll check it out.
I'm just looking at the cast list to see if I recognize any names. It's got Jonathan Banks.
That must be the villain, right?
It looks like he was in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't recognize any of these other names. Well, that's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Might be fun. 1985.
85, yeah.
It was a very good year.
Well, I think we should wrap it up, guys. We've talked for about a half hour. It's good.
Cool.
Thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too, Eric. Take it easy, man.
You too, buddy.
Have a good day.
All right.
See ya.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, it's time to get your geek on with John at the con. We're at Emerald City Comic Con 2014. We're going to go over and talk to Shannon Wheeler, Mike S. Miller, and Jay Ferber. Come on, let's go see what these guys geek out about. Shannon Wheeler is an American cartoonist. He's known mostly for Too Much Coffee Man. He's also worked as a cartoonist for The New Yorker. Pretty cool, huh? Let's go check out what Shannon Wheeler geeks out about.
What's one thing that you really geek out about more than anything else? Or is there something lately you've been geeking out about? Or
oh, what do I geek out about? Oh, that's a tough question. I didn't see that one coming. Let's see. The new Wes Anderson movie I'm pretty excited about. Steve Martin, he puts out a book. I geek out about that. Let's see. Game of Thrones, that's kind of embarrassing. It's everybody does that.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's...
It was really worth getting excited.
Those, I guess, in that run, yeah. Still looking for a first printing of 1984, the paperback Orwell book, because they originally sold it as kind of this schlocky book, and I love that old cover. So
it's like pulpy, kind of like old.
Yeah. It was great. There's probably a few other things.
And we're going to go to talk to Mike S. Miller. Now, Mike has done a lot of work for Game of Thrones. He's done something really cool called The Art of Ice and Fire. Really cool. Check it out on Facebook. Now, when we talk to Mike, bear in mind, I met about 50 or 60 people at Emerald City Comic Con. And I've been putting three on each show. So by the time I got to Mike here, Game of Thrones Season 4 had already aired. So it's a little bit off. But you have to understand, I met Mike before Game of Thrones Season 4 was released. All right, here we go. Let's go see what Mark geeks out about.
What do you geek out about?
Game of Thrones.
You looking forward to the new season then?
Absolutely. Can't wait. I'm also the cover artist on the comic, so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you know that Obama already got to watch the season 4?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. No.
Because I heard it online that they gave it to him ahead of time.
Lies! Damn lies.
And next up is Jay Ferber. Jay Ferber has worked in the comics industry. He's worked in television as a writer. I think he's most known for Generation X, his work on New Warriors for Marvel Comics. He did Titans and some Spotlight stuff for DC Comics. Jay has recently done Star-Crossed and Marvel's Avengers Assemble for television. Let's go find out what he geeks out about. Come on.
What do you geek out about?
I am a huge nerd for Stephen J. Cannell television, whether it's The Greatest American Hero or The Rockford Files or Wise Guy. He pushes all my buttons, and I'm sad I will never get to work with the guy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Super Awesome Geek Show. The Super Awesome Geek Show was conceived, created, and produced by Jason Rigdon, John Adams, Eric Locke, and Jacob Pilecki. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, and we encourage you to follow us on Facebook at Super Awesome Geek Show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. If you would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at john@mowich.net. Drop me a line if you'd like to do an interview, or if you've got a cool story you'd like me to check out and do a spotlight on. Or you can just contact me if you'd like to be a guest on the show. We're always looking for new people to geek out with. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for listening to Super Awesome Geek Show. Keep it geeky out there, guys. See you later.